For those of you who've been reading along, the word that we've been studying is Word. Word. The word for the day is Word. And if you've been following along with the readings, you had five readings through this past week. And as we had suggested, we'll follow each week of readings about that particular word in Scripture with a sermon about it. And so I'd like for us to go back to that text that Brother Troy read for us, to see some things that the Word of God says about the Word. And I want to use it the way John uses it, by inspiration. Consider five great truths from John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice five truths from that passage. The first one is this, that the universe is not eternal. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. This corresponds with the first verse in our Bibles, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, 1 is referring to the creation of the world, the creation of the universe. And it's that same beginning that John is addressing in John 1, in verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word. But so the universe, our world, the heavens, had a beginning. The universe is not eternal, so Scripture says. And even scientists, even many who do not believe that there is a God, have had to acknowledge from the realm of science that the universe had to have a beginning. Well, this is a truth that the Scriptures have maintained all along. By the way, the word for next week, or this week rather, is creation. So we'll be reading about Genesis 1:1 and the creation of the universe in our readings this week. But the first truth, the universe is not eternal. Number two, the Word is eternal. In the beginning, when God created the world, there was the Word. The Word was already in existence. In fact, the verb that's used there means continuous, timeless existence. And the Word here refers to the second person in the Godhead, here called the Word. The Word. Eternality is a prime characteristic of one who possesses the nature of deity. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "God is from everlasting to everlasting. God has no beginning. God has no end. And in the beginning there was the Word." And that signifies, therefore, that the Word, who John is calling the Word, is eternal. Number three, the Word is what we call the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ, we recognize, Jesus Christ. So what does pre-incarnate mean? Well, incarnation is not a word that you'll find in the Scriptures, but it describes something in the Scriptures. Incarnation refers to when God put on human flesh in the person of Jesus. That's referenced in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Notice, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word becoming flesh is clearly a reference to the one we call Jesus. But the Word, therefore, as John uses it, is a reference to the pre-incarnate. Before God put on human flesh and became Jesus, He was called the Word. The Word. That word implies communication. And certainly Jesus Christ is the revealer of truth to humanity. Cecil May wrote in our readings that word here, logos, it means an idea expressed. And so the logos, the word, is God expressed in terms that humans can see and comprehend. So this, the word, the pre-incarnate Christ, again, is Jesus, but He's called the Word before He put on human flesh. Here's something we may need to think about, to consider. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. when Joseph is, well, Mary is expecting a child. The child, Jesus, conceived in her, was by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, they're not yet married, they're betrothed or engaged. He's thinking of putting her away, divorcing her, ending that betrothal privately so as not to bring disgrace on her. But an angel of the Lord appears to him with this message. While he thought about these things, this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is the Word becoming flesh. But he wasn't called Jesus until he was born. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So when John describes the Word, he is talking to us about the pre-incarnate Christ. Notice number four, the fourth truth. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. The preposition literally means facing. It reveals a distinction between the two persons. In the New Testament, they're identified, as we have stated, as the Father and the Son. The Father and Jesus, God's Son. But speaking of the Word, the pre-incarnate Christ, it means he was with God. He was part... Well, number five, the Word not only was with God, the Word was God. Which simply means that the Word is deity. The eternal Word possesses the nature of a divine being. There's another word that we use to describe something that the Scriptures teach, but it doesn't use this word. It's the idea of the Trinity. Where there's God the Father, God the Son, or before Jesus was born, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And here, John is emphasizing that the Word was not only with God, the Word was God. The Word was deity. Philippians chapter 2, Paul speaks about Jesus, but also includes some discussion about the pre-incarnate Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, or who being in the very nature God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." That language is talking about how the Word was in the same nature, the same essence, God, deity. But when the Word put on human flesh, the Word, whom we would call Jesus when he was born, did not consider that nature, that equality with God, something to be selfishly held on to, but emptied himself of some of the glories of heaven in order to come to earth, to be born as a babe, to grow into a man, to identify with us, and to be our perfect representative. As he was nailed to the cross for our sins. So five truths from John 1 and verse 1. But notice in verse 3. All things were made through him. And without him nothing was made that was made. He is not only the eternal Word. He is the creating Word. The mighty works of God are wrought by the all-powerful Word of God, Cecil May wrote. God creates, destroys, and brings into being simply by speaking. Genesis 1, we find this phrase over and over, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God spoke the world into existence. That's the power of the Word, the creating Word. Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast." And the Word here that created the world, we need to understand, is that pre-incarnate Christ, that deity, the agent of creation. Paul speaks of Jesus, again, Colossians chapter 1, referring to His pre-incarnate state as the Word. And he says, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, and that has to do with rank over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He's speaking of the Christ, the eternal Word, which created all things. By the way, the last part of that, verse 17, and in Him all things consist, it means in Him all things hold together. Not only did Christ, or the eternal Word, create the world, He holds it together. That's the power that He has. By the way, folks, if He can hold the universe together, can't He hold our lives together too? He holds all things together. One other point. The Word is the life-giving and light-giving Word. In Him was life, verse 4. And the life was the light of men. Verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The gospel according to John begins with a discussion of life and ends with a discussion of life. In Him was life, and the Word was life. In John chapter 20, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. It begins and ends with life. The life that the Word gives to you and to me. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love William Barclay's comment. Jesus is the one person who can make life worth living, and in whose company death is only the prelude to fuller life, eternal life. And the key to that life is our faith in Him. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Believing in Him. I love William Barclay's comments again. For John, belief means the conviction of the mind that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the trust of the heart that everything He says is true. And it's the basing of every action on the unshakable assurance that we must take Him at His word. Belief in the Scriptures, folks, is more than mentally saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It also means trusting that He is who He said He is, and that His Word is true, and then acting upon that, obeying it. All those are included in what it means to believe, to have faith in Jesus. In just these three, four verses, it is John's great thought that Jesus is none other than God's creative and life-giving and light-giving Word. He's the power of God which created the world. He's the reason of God which sustains the world. But He's the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Here's the takeaway that I would encourage us to take from our study of a few verses in John chapter 1 about the Word. The Word of God is powerful. Think about what John says about the Word. The world, the Word created the world and everything that is in it. By the power of His mouth, He spoke the world into existence. The Word created the world. You talk about power. Didn't you love that statement that was quoted by Cecil May? Quoting the preacher who said that if Jesus, when He called forth Lazarus from the dead, if He hadn't called Lazarus by name, all of the dead in the graves would have risen. I love that. But it's the power of the Word. Not only the power that is inherent in Jesus, but in the Word that He gave us. The Word that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles to write. There's power in this Word. Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and bring it forth, make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will accomplish what He has set forth that it accomplish. That's the power of it. I also love the illustration that Cecil May gave about a man who had let alcohol ruin his reputation, take away his career, and alienate him from his family. But he heard the word. He heard the gospel and obeyed it. And the truth set him free from the curse of addiction. He ran into some of his old cronies who tried to entice him into the bar where they used to drink together. And they ridiculed him for believing in Jesus. And they mockingly asked him, "Do you really think that He turned water into wine?" And the response was, "Yes, I believe it because the Bible says it. And I saw Him turn beer, wine, and whiskey into clothes, food, and furniture at my house." The Word of God has transforming power to those who will accept it as it is in truth the Word of God. Allow it to permeate your heart and life, and allow it to find expression in your trusting, obedient faith. The Word of God is powerful. So powerful it created the universe. So powerful that it can transform your life. And over time, cause you to be created more and more into the likeness of Jesus. It begins with our acknowledging the Word, acknowledging that Jesus is the eternal Word and He's the Son of God, and confessing that faith as Anna did last night, and being baptized into Christ, having turned from sin and repentance, and that blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. You'll become a child of God. Will you act upon that Word if you haven't already? It may be that you desire the prayers of the church on your behalf. If that be the case, please let us know as together we stand and sing.